today I want to talk to gifted people. Do I have any people who are gifted in the house? You may not have scored off the chart with your IQ test, but you're gifted. Somebody say, I'm gifted. And say, whoever gets me gets a gift. Your job got a gift. Your husband got a gift. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm gifted. Tell them, if you got me, you got a gift. You know the thing about God's gift? Anybody ever played Dirty Santa and you open up the gift and it just is exactly the opposite of what you want? Here's the great thing about God. He gifts wrap everything beautifully, and when you open it, it's just as beautiful on the inside as it is on the outside. So God beautifies every part of who you are. Here's the thing about being gifted. When you're gifted, you walk with a swagger. And I think every person ought to have some theme music. I hate going in Walmart, but when I go in Walmart, I normally put my earbuds in, and I got this music right here playing in my ear. When I have this music playing in my ear, it makes me feel like I got it. Y'all know this? It's a phrase, it's a play. It makes me feel like I have like this extra ability, extra power. My first challenge to you this week is that every gifted person has to have some type of thing music. I want you to get some music that just puts you in a zone, that puts you in a place to express what's on the inside of you. Because here's the thing, you know, in Psalm 23 it says, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, when you're in a tough time, you normally want to run through it. But now when you walk your valleys. You're in the toughest moment of your life, but you slow down. How you doing today? You let the swag come out and you said, devil, you're not going to pressure me into being something that I'm not. Why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Yeah. Every gifted person needs some thing music. And when you walk, it exudes from it. Did you notice how that set the tone? Your gift does the same thing wherever you go. And the child of God need not be frantic all over the place. Man, we have the presence of God on us, which causes us to do extraordinary things. And today I'm going to give you four questions that every gifted person should ask themselves every day. But I'm going to use the scripture here, and I'm going to show you how we're going to get to those questions first. 1 Peter 2 and 9 is on the screen. You can find it in your Bible. I apologize. I'm not sure what version that is. I think it's New American Standard. But it's 1 Peter 2 and 9. Let me read it to you. It said, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Somebody say holy. His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous. As the child of God, I think that you should embrace whatever you're gifted to do. There are two schools of thoughts, and one goes to the opposite end of the spectrum, which causes people to be arrogant. And when a person is arrogant, they think their gifting runs the world. And here's the thing about being gifted. You're smart, don't have to make somebody else dumb. You're pretty, don't make the rest of the world ugly. Why can't we just be gifted together? So you think the world revolves around your gift, and it does not. You're not the first person that will ever be smart, pretty, or whatever you are. Neither will you be the last. You all right in here? So we get caught up in ourselves. That's one end of the spectrum. Then there's this other end of the spectrum where people find themselves downplaying. And if God made you beautiful, be beautiful. God gave you a great personality, use your personality. Don't let it. If God made you smart, be smart. Whatever God gave you, embrace it. But work so that your light shines before men. They see your good works, but glorify the Father which is in heaven. But you got to learn how to embrace the gift that you have, and then you got to learn how to use it. I lost control up here. Can you push my next slide up there? I want to walk you through this scripture right here, and I want to show you. Anybody seen the help in here? Yeah. You remember she had a little girl in the lady on How to Get Away with Murder? I don't remember her name. She just walked bad, just walking down the street. And she told that girl, you is kind, you is smart, you is important. Well, this scripture told you who you are, gifted people. You are called, you are important, you are powerful, and you are unique. Let's look at where this came from. The first thing is called. It said you are a chosen generation. Do you not know that God chose you to live in this time and no other time? We were watching a show on WGN, it was Underground, and Barbara looked at me and said, thank God I wasn't born in that time, because I wouldn't have lasted. I said, that's why God didn't birth you during that time. He birthed you in whatever year she was born. He both birthed you now for this generation. You ever think about this, that God handpicked you to live in this generation and no other generation? Since you are here, what did God birth you for? What did God want you? He chose you. He handpicked you. He gave you your personality. He gave you your gifting for this generation. I was talking to a young lady years ago who was going to commit suicide, and she was just in a very suicidal place. She said, my whole life, I'm going to use the word mistake. You can substitute an unsaved word to what she said. My whole life is a mistake, but she said it's up. And I said, why do you say that? Some of you said, I use that word. Why do you say that? And she said, my life has been messed up. She didn't say messed up. From the beginning. I said, tell me about it. She said, I'm a mistake. My mom got pregnant by a married man, or mom was a side chick. She said, I wasn't planned to be here. Mom didn't have an abortion. She birthed me here. She said, I've been messed up from the beginning. Nothing's going right in my life. Why should I keep going? I said, not true. You're not a mistake. I said, do you not know that every woman from the time they're born to the time they die will have no more eggs added to their body? They're born with every egg that they'll ever produce. Men produce semen for the majority of their life. I said, so God planned you and your mother from the time your mother was born. Your entry into the earth may have been an accident, but your existence was planned from the beginning of time. And you can't base your existence on your arrival. For many of us, we got in this place through shame, through mistakes, through the guilt. I don't care how you got where you are. Your life has purpose, your life has meaning, and God may not have caused it, but he'll use it for his glory. Am I talking to anybody here that said, listen, I done made some mistakes in my life. There were some places you wouldn't know God had you got in all the trouble that you got into. You wouldn't know how to pray if your back was not against the wall. You wouldn't know what it means to praise God and just cry unless you were in a situation where you said, God, if you don't get me out of this, I don't know how I will get out of this. God doesn't care how you find him. He just wants you to find him. Because watch this. Before you chose him, he chose you. He chose the lowdown you, the cussing you, the mad you. Yes, I mean, you know that. God found us in crazy places, but he calls us from the beginning. Somebody say, I'm called. Say it again, I'm called. But now that you're called, what are you called to in this generation? The second thing is this, you're important. The Bible says you are chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Your importance is because you have an assignment in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom, it's different than what we talk about. The kingdom is God's way of doing things. We pray the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, and will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom is living on the earth the way God wants things to be in heaven. So it's living heaven on earth. So here's what the kingdom is, and God wants you to live it out. But here's a challenging part about this scripture. Until Jesus, you would never find these two words in the same sentence. It said you are a royal priesthood. When you think of royalty, you think of a palace, you think of a king, you think of a queen, you think of a castle. When you think of a priest, you think of a church. Now, Jesus says you are a royal priesthood. The word royal, the word we get king, is for our terms, the marketplace. What is the marketplace? It's where you work. It's where you do industry. It's where you live. There's a priest side of you as well. It's doing church. It's how you worship. It's how you seek God. God wants to marry the two. Because here is the challenge. Many of us live victoriously here in church, but we live defeated when we go home and on our jobs. And God said, I want you just as anointed. There is no rival. There is no equal. And we hype, we all this stuff. When you go to work tomorrow, the same anointing God wants it on you. The same anointing on your business to do whatever you do, because you are a royal priesthood. We dominate here in the temple, and we dominate with the ideas we have on our job and our homes or wherever we go, because we shape the culture. Let me tell you something about being a royal priesthood. It gives you access to the kingdom of God, and it gives you access and favor. Friday night, we went to Christmas gift, we got to go see the Hawks play the Golden State Warriors. I finally got to see Steph Curry play. And when we were out there, we were sitting in before the game, I hadn't eaten. And they said, man, we can eat out here. They had little hot dogs, you know, little nachos and all that stuff. I said, man, I don't want this. I am hungry. My cousin said, I do have access to club level. I said, tell me about it. He gave me this little sticker. And there was a bunch of people outside of club level, and they couldn't get in unless they had the sticker. He said, just show the lady the badge. Walked through all these people and went to club level. And they had restaurant. They had this lobster thing and this one restaurant over here. Atlanta's finest restaurants were represented in the club level. I went to a pasta bar and I took sausage. Can I talk about it for a minute? I took some chicken. I took some marinara sauce and Alfredo sauce. It'll bless your soul if you try. I had them mixing their penne noodles and garlic and onions, and they let that stuff just sit there for a while. And I sit there and watch them cook, and it was one of the best pieces of best plates of pasta I'd ever had, but I couldn't get it in the regular level. It was only at club level. When you are important, y'all right in here. They didn't know me from Adam. They didn't know where I worked. They didn't know nothing. All they knew was I had this badge. You're trying to get people to recognize who you are. Just show them who you represent. And it gets you access to stuff that normal people don't access to. People say they're just flipping out on your job, and why are you calm? Because I got access to peace that passes all understanding. This is a horrible day. I'm not happy. I don't care how I feel in the moment. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Why? Because I got access to something great. Not only does that royal priesthood being important give you access, but it gives you favor. Man, Isaiah was sitting there, and during one of the quarters, this guy walked out. And I said, Isaiah, who's this guy? Because there was a trail of people following him. They were trying to take pictures with him. They were trying, you know, everybody sitting outside of the Atlanta Hawks game. And he smiled, and the lights hit his smile. And his grill was, I don't know if it was platinum, gold, and it lit up the entire stadium. I said, Isaiah, who's that? He said, Quavo's. Quavo's Bad and Bougie. I know him. You do too. Have what you do. When the favor of God is on your life, you are attractional. People just want to be around you. You have been talking to somebody, and you're like, why do you keep touching me? Right. Why won't you just talk to them over there? It's because when the glory of God is on your life, people may not even like you, but they say there's just something about you. Right. There's some confidence. When you walk in the room, it lights it up, and you want to say it's the favor of God because I am not that special. So when you are important, the royal priesthood, you have access and you have faith. Somebody say, I have access and I have favor. Next thing it said is this. It says you are powerful. It says you are a holy nation. Let's talk about holiness for a minute. Holiness is an identity. I grew up, just where I grew up, holiness was a dress code. Holiness was a code of conduct. So we didn't go to parties. We didn't dance. I heard years ago they didn't go to the movies because they say you don't sit in the seat of the scorner. It made much sense to me. One guy must have had a speech impediment because they didn't play marbles. He said the Bible said marvel not. Not even the same words, but they didn't do it. No, you didn't. And then you had the other ladies wore long skirts, had to be past your knees, couldn't wear makeup, couldn't cut your hair and all. And if you know people who do that, I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying what I've discovered. And that was what holiness was. It was just the way you dressed and where you went. We didn't listen to certain music because we were saved. We were holy. Then you figured out you can have a dress down to your knees and still be mean as a junkyard dog. You cannot go to the movies. You can and still don't nobody like you. You're bitter on the inside. You mad at somebody because they stepped on your toe 10 years ago. You can't let stuff go. And you figured out that it's not just a dress code. Holiness is who you are when God is on the inside of you. It's the power of God that causes you to do extraordinary things. Somebody say, I'm holy. You know what holiness feels like? Don't raise your hand when I ask you this. Holiness feels like when you've done the worst thing you've ever done in your life and you get that, that yucky feeling like, why did I do this? And you think that God is through with you. Like, why do I feel so horrible? That's holiness cleaning you up. That's holiness on the inside of you, washing your heart, saying, this can't stay here. This is not who we are. What if that feeling is not God trying to leave? What if it's God trying to stay? Do I got any neat freaks in here? You just clean, germaphobe, you spray stuff down. Whenever we go anywhere, my wife has got Lysol. She sprays stuff down. And if it's not right, she don't want to stay. Do you know why she brings that stuff? Because she's not trying to leave. She's trying to stay. What if the conviction you feel is not God leaving you? What if it's God trying to stay and he's saying, I want to dwell in a place that's great. I want to show you who you are. I want to make you holy. It's not just how you act. It's how I act through you. It said you are. That makes sense in here? It says you are a holy nation. It's like a holy government. It's a holy way of doing things that wherever you go, I represent the kingdom of God. Anybody ever send your kids off and you say, when you go there, don't you act like you don't have no home training. Right. And God does the same way. He said, when you show up at work, don't act like you ain't got no home training. When you get married, don't act like you don't have no home training. He said, I've trained you to be great. Let that thing come out of you. Somebody say, I'm powerful. And the next thing is this. It says, you are unique. You are special. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm unique. You know what unique means? Unique means you're set apart. Here's the hard part about, I am set apart. There's something peculiar about me. But there is a set apart that some people adapt with is arrogance. There is this snobbishness. Do you not know that Jesus, if you saw him, you would be surprised at how he walked around and who he talked to? That arrogance and that snobbishness, that is not unique. You see people who discover their gift and they walk around with the nose up in the air like they just, you know, they've been perfect their entire life. That's not unique. Unique is God set you apart to make you something great. Then he set you apart to be apart. So that when you bring, nothing can bring who you to the table, nothing can change who you are. When you are unique, listen, I can serve in the dirtiest places. I'm not worried about my hands getting dirty because it's not going to change who I am. I'm not going anywhere. Y'all ain't going to change me. This is who I am. No, I'm looking to be a part because you can't change because you didn't make me. So that's a battle I don't have to worry about fighting with you. That makes sense in here. It says you are unique. You are a special people. So you are called. You are important. You are powerful, and you are unique. Next slide. I want to shift you from you are to that you may. Look at the scripture. He said, but you are chosen, royal priesthood, holy nation. Look what it said. That you may proclaim the promises of him who called you out of darkness. So you got to shift from just, all right, you're great. It's good that you're kind. It's good that you're smart. It's good that you're important. Now we need to put that into action and proclaim who Jesus is in the earth. I'm going to give you four questions to ask yourself every day to make sure that you're doing this. Can we go to my next slide here? Here's my first question I want you to ask yourself. Who is calling me? It said this, you are a chosen generation. We're getting chose, but who's picking us? There are a couple people that you got to make sure when you're being called that you're getting called by the right person. I can call myself. People can call me. But I want to make sure it's God the one that called me. People will put a pressure on you to be something that you're not. I started pastoring at 32 years old, but I had people at the age of 23, 24 asking me, when you going to start a church? But here's the thing. The people that were asking me were people who were disgruntled with a situation who wanted to live out their dream through my gifting. It was what God called me to do, but it wasn't time to do it. I want to tell you in here, make sure that it's God's timing when you do whatever you do. I met Barbara. When I first met Barbara, we talked on the phone that night, and I knew a month later she would be the one I would marry, but I didn't marry her. We wouldn't be married today. I wasn't ready to be married, and I wasn't going to let nobody pressure me into marrying her. It took me 3 years of dating to the point where we got married. Now, her sister met a guy, and in 6 months, they were engaged. A little bit later, they were married, and people were looking at me crazy. I look back at them crazy. You ain't going to pressure me to do something I'm not ready to do. And many people have been pressured into, you picked a major because everybody in the family said you should do that. You did certain things because you felt a pressure to do it. I see folks up there preaching because everybody in their family preaching, they know good and well. They ain't got no, they can read the Bible. They ain't got no business being up there preaching. I mean, seriously, people do stuff that they're not called to do because people pressure them to do it. Find what God is calling you to do. Now watch this. There's a lot of things I can call myself to do. When you're gifted, you know what you're smart. You know what your personality can do. When you look good, you know. When you look good, you walk through somewhere and you know people are going to be looking. You can find you somebody tomorrow, but is it the one that God wants you to have? Fellas, you can do the same thing. You can do some things on your own, but you got to figure out, watch this. Whoever calls you has got to sustain you. Whoever calls you, That's the power you're going to have to use when times get rough. And when you got, when you call yourself and when people call you, you're going to have to look to them to lift you up when times get rough. But when God called you, he will back up your assignment with heaven and earth, and he will make sure that you have whatever you need to do what it is you're called to do. First question is, who is calling you? Second question, next slide, is this. What is our assignment? It said you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Notice I did not say my assignment. I said our. Gifted people, we have to be careful because we think the world revolves around our gift. God does not build the world around you. You think the world revolves around you? Quit your job tomorrow. They will have it posted by the end of the week. And then they'll have somebody else in there a couple weeks later, and just life will go. I'm not saying you're not important, but I just want to say, I want you to know your piece of how things flow. And some of you are stressing out about stuff that are just, man, you're trying to carry burdens that God said that's not yours to carry. Now, Dunton, there's somebody in here that's stressful on your job. Don't go quit tomorrow. Don't go do this. I don't need this, no way. No, God has you there. He wants to teach you how to deal with stress and live your life. Is that all right in here? Here's the thing about gifted people. Gifted people don't have the luxury of preference of choosing their circle based on their preference. They got to choose it based on their assignment. For me, I had to be stretched a lot because most of us, God, we pray this, God, enlarge our territory. God, stretch us. And we want different until different shows up. And when different shows up, we size different up by what's normal to us. And God said, listen, I'm not about torturing you, but I don't care how comfortable you are because I want to stretch you. 5 years ago, you wouldn't have got me to eat a jalapeno. But over time, Barbara just kept coercing me, and I tried one. And now they got this new hot dog restaurant in town, Beer Garden, hot dog, whatever it is, on Broad Street. And they got this hot dog, and it's got cheese on it. It's got pickled jalapenos on it. It's got hot mustard on it. You ought to try it. It'll bless your soul. 5 years ago, I would not have not eaten there. I came from a very small-minded, me, I was very small-minded. So when I went to school, one of my best friends in the world now, I didn't like him. I didn't like him because I looked at him. I said, he's a pretty boy. He wears polo boots. He wears polo shoes. He drives the newest jet out. He walked around campus. All the ladies loved him. I'm sitting here with a goodie shirt on that after I watched it the third time, it shrunk and it faded. I had these old tight jeans on. It wouldn't when skinny jeans were in. They're just not jeans I had on. My mama bought them at JCPenney. I had some boots. They weren't Timberlands. I probably had the Timbs on them, the Belands. They weren't on there. I just had some shoes. They're just somebody's shoes. We got them at Freeman. Remember Freeman's in Shelbyville. They were used shoes. I didn't like him because I was small-minded, and I sized him up by what I thought he was, and I didn't know him. Many of us have minimized our assignments. Because you have sized people up by what you know and not what God wants to do in your life. And you have an assignment in the kingdom, and the kingdom is diverse. The kingdom doesn't just look like you. It's not black, it's not white, it's not Asian, it's not Hispanic. It's all of us coming together in an amalgamation of culture. So you have to learn to stretch yourself because your assignment exposes you to things that you've never experienced before. Some of you think about this. When God started promoting you on your job, when you found your gift and you met people you never thought you would meet, you were in circles of people that you sized up and you said, anybody ever met you and said, you're not who I thought you were at all? That's because they didn't know you. They sized you up by what they thought of you. You do the same thing. God said, I want you to tap into your assignment because watch this. Gifted people, if we're not careful, we do a whole lot of stuff alone. And we say it's a lonely walk being gifted. It ain't that lonely. You know why it's lonely? Because we think our way is the only way to do things. And if you want it done right, do it yourself. I'm the world's worst at that. And you got to figure out how your gift fits within the big picture of things. Number one, who's calling you? Number two, what is our assignment? Who are your people? What are you assigned to? Embrace that. Next slide is this. What is my role? It says you are a holy nation. How will I use my power? Power is two words, ability and authority, and we don't know the difference, many of us, between the two. Ability is what you can do. Authority is what somebody will let you do. You can do a whole lot of stuff, but you got to have the authority to do it. Gifted people see a lot. And when you're on your job or wherever you go, I see that. We need to fix that. We need to do this. Here's my question to you. Have you done what you've been asked to do first? After you do what you've been asked to do, then go and pursue what it is that you want to do. Because some stuff you got to do what you don't want to do now so you can do what you want to do later. What is my ability? What am I called to do now? And the next thing is my authority. Authority is when people give you the opportunity to do what it is you're gifted to do. Authority, we got to be careful because you have to be mature to have authority. We look at these 19-year-old kids who go into the NBA, and I'm not mad at them. They go make your money if you want to go right out to high school. But I think we got to be very careful of making role models out of them because they're 19. They have a gift that's perfect. You meet people who are young and say, you're mature for your age. A lot of them are not mature for their age. They have a mature gift. So they can play like a grown man. They can sing like a grown person. They write like a grown person. You can have, if you have Isaiah come up, my son Isaiah is gifted to speak. Isaiah can speak. He puts words together, but he don't know how to flush the commode half the time after he used it. He's an immature kid. Y'all looking at me strange because you got kids that do the same thing. You know exactly what I'm talking about. At 19, do you know I was doing stupid stuff? I was getting kicked out of haunted houses. I was jumping off the second story of this apartment building because my buddy dared me to. I had a gift, and people would say, wow, you preach like an old man. I may preach like an old man, but if you'd ask my parents, I live like a 12-year-old kid. You have a mature gift. But in order to have authority, that's why it's very careful. You just don't promote gifted people because you have to learn how to use authority. Can I show you what it looks like? Jar, can you give me this? Because if you're not careful, many gifted people are taught to be victims. You talk like a victim and you think like a victim. You put yourself on the lower end of the spectrum instead of putting yourself in a position of authority. I live by this. I'm not better than anybody and nobody is better than me. So I'm not going anywhere trying to prove I am, and I don't care what you, racism and all these things exist, but ain't nobody better than me. And I'm not better than anybody. When you don't understand your authority, y'all know what this is? Vacuum cleaner. What does a vacuum cleaner do? Cleans. When you don't understand your authority, you will abuse your ability. You'll have this vacuum cleaner like, it sure is dirty in here. I wish these folks would clean up after themselves. Why is this place so dirty in here? And the ability to change things is right in your hands. Can I tell you the very thing that you could be complaining about? God has gifted you with the ability. We say, I clean it up and they mess it up. With this also comes an authority. Listen, I'm going to clean this up, but I don't want you eating right here anymore. When you eat over there, and that's a trash can. Put it up. That's called authority. Do you know what many of us do when we get frustrated? We quit using our ability on your job or somewhere else. So because I don't have the authority to do it, you stop doing what you're called to do. And then you want to be promoted, and you're not even doing what you've been asked to do. Satan wants to frustrate you, so you stop doing the very little things that you're called to do, and then want to do big things. No, when I understand my role, I understand my, it makes sense in here? I understand my ability, and I understand my authority. Watch this, because I understand I'm a man under authority. And watch this, in order for you to do something big, you gotta learn how to follow authority first. Every great leader was once a great follower. And every great leader knows this. My job is to serve, not myself. My job is to serve the people around me. Gifted people who get frustrated, can I say something to you right here? You're frustrated because you see a whole lot of stuff that needs to be done. And you feel like your hands are tied. And if they just let me do this, I can fix it. You don't have to, just look straight ahead at me. If they would just ask me, I keep telling them to do this. If you want to get your voice heard, frustrated, gifted person, do your job first. Do your job so well that they noticed it. Authority is not demanded. Authority is earned. I think I could lead my house, but I can't go in there. Barbara, I'm the man. This is what we're going to do. I'm from the old school. I could be walking, but she ain't going to be following me. I'm a man. Walk. I have to get buy-in. In order for you to get authority, do what you've been asked to do first. Ask God to put his influence on your life, and then you'll see things flow. The last thing is this. Last question is this. What do I bring to this situation? What is my uniqueness? You are God sent wherever you go, and whoever gets you gets a gift. I'll close it this way. When we first started here, there was this gentleman. He was a personality that likes loud. Just speak to people, and I said, hey, I need you to just go be in the parking lot. When people come up, I need you to talk to everybody. I need you to dap them up. I need you to speak to them. He did it for a while and was phenomenal. New people, just you could hear him all the way in where we were. couple months later, I don't know what happened to him. Somebody, people may have gotten his ear or something. He said, I need to be up preaching. I need to be at the mic. You need to let me pray. And he told me how I would pray and do all that stuff. I said, man, this ain't where I need you right now. I need you out there. He got so frustrated over time. Voice got louder. It got softer. He wasn't speaking. Next thing, he was gone. I walked into this establishment about a week or so ago. And when I walked in, I heard somebody say, Pastor Scales! I said, I know ain't nobody supposed to be yelling my name in here. I looked over and guess who it was? That man. I know that man's boss. They said, we love him here. I said, his loudness don't bother you? They said, no, it lights up the room. People love him. He recognizes people. People feel special. That guy was like many of us. You're rejecting the very thing that you're good at because it doesn't bring the attention that you thought you were supposed to get. You're not unique for attention. You're unique to be effective. What is it that you could be rejecting that God said, that's it. That's what I want you to use. I was reading this article, this lady named Lisa Vorser or something like that, and I think she planned the wedding of a guy, John Legend. Y'all probably know him. I think it was John. Somebody's wedding. It looked like John when I was in the picture. She was a celebrity wedding planner. And they asked her how she got started. She said, I was an IT consultant, and I hated being in a cubicle all day. She said, I married a guy in Los Angeles, and when I moved out there, I said, I'm not going to do this anymore. She said, he had a cousin who threw events, and he asked me, can you plan this event for me? I don't know if it was last minute or what. She planned the event so well that people started asking her, do you do this for a living? Can you do this for me? She said her first business card was the back of somebody's hand with a marker or a pen that she wrote her name and number on. When you are good at something, people will find you. What is your uniqueness? It's what people are asking you to do. It may get on your nerves when they ask you, but it's what you're good at. I don't think people want me to do is pray for them. Maybe you can pray. People just ask me to organize stuff. Maybe you're an organizer. I'm tired of people coming to me with their problems. Maybe they think you're smart and they got tired of asking other people and they think you can figure stuff out. Your uniqueness is what people come to you. It may not be what you like, and you may not like it because it may not be what you thought was celebrated. My uniqueness is this. I promise you, at the age of 70, we're not going to be in this building, but whatever building we're in, I probably won't be the pastor. At a certain season of my life, we're going to bring somebody up young, fresh with ideas. My uniqueness is not based on my position. That's not where my confidence comes from. I said, love when my pastor said it in college. We had the chair that would sit up there, all the chairs that would sit up on the pulpit, and we would all sit in the little chairs. And when somebody new would come in, he let them sit in his chair. They said, Pastor, you got to sit in the center seat. He said, I'm the pastor no matter what seat I sit in. When you understand you are you no matter where you go, and you're not defined by the role that you are in, you ought to have just as much confidence in college making no money than you do when you start making a lot of money. Find your uniqueness. Don't let it be tied to a role because your roles in life will change. Hopefully I'll be pastor until I'm 60, 65 years old. But this is not my identity. My uniqueness comes from what God called me to do. I want you to find that in your life. Who called you? What is our assignment? What is your role? And what is your uniqueness? Answer those four questions every day and you'll find your life going greater than you ever imagined. Stand to your feet. That makes sense? Bow your head. I think it's going to be a moment of clarity. First, if you're in here and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, let me challenge you in here. One of the greatest things